Judges, the third chapter. All right, I have come to the conclusion that my grandmother never read the book of Judges. Now, I know better because I know she read her Bible through several times. She was a godly woman and loved reading her Bible. But she must have started reading her Bible after she named her children. Because she named her children some crazy things, but wow, Judges has got some. So Othniel is the young man that we're going to look at today. Othniel. I suppose you could call him Neil. Wouldn't be too bad. Anybody know an Othniel personally? Whoa, okay. So Miss Jenny knows an Othniel. Don't tell me that's your dad's name. Okay. Your brothers? Okay, I'm safe. So anybody related to you? Okay. But you do know an Othniel. All right. Well, I know one from the Bible, Othniel. Anybody else know an Othniel? We're going to look at Othniel today and see if we can't glean some things from Othniel's life. Let's start at verse 1. Now, these are the nations that the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many as of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, not only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. He's saying, listen, God says, these people have been left so that you'll learn how to fight. You should have been fighting them from the beginning. You didn't. Now you're going to have to teach your kids how to fight. Verse 3, namely, five lords of the Philistines, of Canaanites, Sidonians, Hivites, that dwelt in Mount Lebanon and from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hivites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, all those people. And they took their daughters to be wives. Now, we've been looking at this again and again and again as we've considered this. Remember, we've been teaching you the land of promise, that promised land that God gave to the children of Israel, is not representative of heaven, even though we use it that way. And if you think of heaven as a promised land, I'm not going to sit and argue this with you, but the promised land, they went into and fought battles. The enemy existed in the promised land. They had hard times. That's not going to be true in heaven. You understand? The battle is over. The victory is won. And we don't go to heaven and fight battles to stay there. We don't fight battles to enter into heaven. And if the promised land is heaven, what does that do for Moses, who was not allowed to enter into the promised land? Do you understand? That promised land is that land of milk and honey. It's the land of God's blessing. And we get God's blessing through obedience. We get God's blessing by following after the things that he tells us to do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so this is what the situation is. So they're fighting this battle. And when we are disobedient, we've been learning the dangers from Judges, these first two chapters, because here's what it leads us to. Take a look at verse 6 again. They took their daughters to be wives and gave their daughters to their sons. Now, they took their daughters, that's the daughters of all of these unsaved, wicked tribes that have been left behind. They took their daughters to be wives for their sons. And then they took their own daughters and gave them to the sons of the wicked men to be their wives. You see them? You see what happens? When God's people choose to be disobedient, that's that slippery slope we get on. And the next thing you know, it's more than just a compromise with my own life. Now it's a compromise with the lives of my children. I am literally selling my children off to the world, so to speak. You know, and it is, by the way, where we are in American churches today. Would you agree? We're weak and anemic because we like being part of the world. And we literally, what's a polite word I could use? Make harlots. Maybe I'll use that word. It's one that your kids wouldn't understand easily. Harlots of our children. We sell them out to the world. That's what's happening in this scenario. You say, that would never happen. I would never do that, Pastor John. Well, if we choose the path of disobedience, this is where that path leads, and that's the danger. But keep going, verse 6. That's not really the message. It's just kind of a gravy there, all right? And they sell their daughters to their sons. And then it goes on to say, and served their gods. Now in verse 7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and it keeps getting worse and worse, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam in the groves. So you have all of these things happening as a result of that disobedience. Now, verse 8 is a glorious verse. Grab hold of it and hang on to it. Look what it says. Therefore, not verse 8. Yeah, we're going to get to the glorious part. I'm sorry. Verse 9. But verse 8 says, therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. What does God's anger, somebody tell me, speak to me here. What does God's anger look like when it's really hot? Fire. Yeah. He said, hello, fire from heaven and consumed. And that's not, by the way, we're not talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. We're talking about the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 11. And when the people complained, the Lord was made angry and sent fire from heaven and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. When God's anger gets hot, it's fiery. What else? What else does God's anger look like when it gets hot? Jonathan. Oh, yeah, the splitting of the earth. I mean, literally, the earth opens up and swallows people, right? Yikes. When God gets angry, it's a big deal. Now, tell me again, why is God angry at the children of Israel? What is the primary reason God is angry with the children of Israel? Disobedience. Now, I know we live in this day of grace, we do, and praise God for it, and how dare we suggest that anything that does happen might be an act of God against the sins of men. Can you remember preachers getting themselves in a lot of trouble for suggesting that maybe sin was part of the problem for, let's say, Mardi Gras, what is the name of that place? New Orleans, when it was flooded. And you remember preachers actually saying that, and all of a sudden the news media made those preachers out to be the worst people on the planet. And the real truth is, should we be warning Mardi Gras about the sinful lifestyle that they put out there for everybody? Amen. Do you think that makes God angry? You bet. Has God done things like that before when people have chosen to be disobedient? Yes, he has. And I'm just saying, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. That's what I'm saying. And we need to be careful. That's what the children of Israel did. And he was hot. His anger was hot against them. He sold them into the hand of, there's a name my grandmother would have loved, Chushan Rishathaim. I used to have one of those, but the wheels fell off. King of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served that person. Look at the word. The words, the next two words, 8 years. Okay, so here's what happens. They choose disobedience. God gets angry. And the ramifications of their choices last at least 8 years. Do you see that? Am I making this up? Is this what the Bible says? Sin does have a price. Now, you know, I am a believer that God is not this angry God sitting on the throne with lightning bolts just waiting for the opportunity to throw one down. Because if that were the reality, we're already gone, right? We give God a reason to throw a lightning bolt every day. That's not the picture that we get of the God of heaven. But boy, when he does get angry, it's a big deal. But I am of the opinion that sin, even without God's help, has consequences. And when we choose a path of sin, I can prove this from the scripture. The Bible says, if we sow to the flesh, then we will reap what? Corruption. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, that will we reap. And the children of Israel are simply reaping. And it takes 8 years, 8 years for them to be in this circumstance. We're going to verse 9. I told you there'd be a great verse. Hang on to this. Well, maybe you've gone through 8 years or 8 seasons or 8 days or maybe 8 hours of feeling the wrath of God breathing down your neck because of something silly, brutish, that good Proverbs word that I won't say in front of your children, brutish that you did. Take a look at verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer. Wow. This is the kind of God we have. Do you think the children of Israel deserve a deliverer? Now listen, this is the same children of Israel that just walked through the wilderness for 40 years. Remember that story? And you remember when they finally get to the promised land and God puts Joshua in charge And Joshua goes through that great, you know, verse that, you know, where God's encouraging him to stick by the stuff and don't quit because, you know, what's that, Joshua 1:9, what's it say? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, right? And God gives him all of this great encouragement. And at the end of chapter 1, the children of Israel say, "We're with you, Joshua." You remember that? Remember what else they say? "Just like we were with Moses, we're going to follow you the same way." Well, Joshua has barely been dead. I mean, Caleb is still alive in Judges chapters 1 and 2. Joshua's barely off the scene. And the children of Israel have made God so angry that he has put them into 8 years of servitude to the wicked people that they left in the land because of their disobedience. Folks, if you and I think we're going to be disobedient to God and get by with it, we're wrong. If we think we're going to be disobedient to God and it's not eventually going to impact our children, we're wrong. If we think we're going to continue in our own stubborn, selfish way and do the things that we want to do, and there's never going to, because we, it seems as if, because God is so gracious and slow to anger, it seems as if we've gotten by for so long. But that's not the kind of God we have. He is slow to anger, and he will not always chide, but neither will he keep his anger forever. You understand? We have a God who loves us so much that, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord chasteneth and scourgeth every son. I mean, God loves us that much. And here he is. And so, yes, they cry unto the Lord, and he sends them a deliverer. Even, there it is, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. That's the same Caleb you're thinking of. The "I want that mountain" Caleb, the old guy who took the mountain, his younger brother. I have no idea how old Othniel here is here. Caleb was 80 when he took the mountain or so, right? Whatever he was. He was an old guy. And this is Caleb's younger brother, Othniel. But look at what it says in verse 10. This is what I want us to do. I want to focus tonight on Othniel. I want to say to you and I, let's become an Othniel. Because here's the kind of person Othniel is. First of all, back in Joshua chapter 15, Othniel proves that he is willing to be brave and to put his life on the limb for what is right as he goes out and slays a couple of giants helping out there, the Anakins there in Kirjath Sefer. But in this passage, in verse 10, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel." And when let me ask you this question first. Where is Othniel during this last 8 years? He's right there with them. He's in slavery, right? He's in slavery. But implied in this passage is that Othniel hadn't given up. And yes, you and I may be suffering some of the difficulty that is thrust upon us because our nation is standing against God. But don't quit. Don't give up. Because God can, and if he desires to do so, raise up a deliverer, so to speak. God can still bring revival. God can do what God wants to do. And so, you know, but for 8 years, he's been right there with him, but Othniel seems to have not quit, not given up. He's responsive to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war, and the Lord delivered, there you go, that king of Mesopotamia into his hand, and his hand prevailed against the enemy. Now, could we become an Othniel? Could we, even when life is difficult, even when we're suffering, maybe not from our own sin, but from the sin of people around us who have made bad decisions? Have you ever suffered from somebody else's bad decision? Think about this. Every child sitting over here is saying, "Yes, my parents made some bad decision. They made me homeschooled. Or they didn't let me be homeschooled. Or they made me go to this school or that school. They won't let me get my driver's license when I'm 16. They're going to make me wait until I'm 71. And whatever. I mean, and so, you know, sometimes we have to suffer from other people. And I think Othniel's right there. You know, he still seems to be living for the Lord. He's there, but he is a servant to just like everybody else for 8 years. The wrath of God has come down upon the nation of Israel. It doesn't mean every single person in the nation of Israel has been wicked, But as a whole, the nation of Israel said, we are not going to obey God. We're going to go our own way. And now they're suffering. And God sends this deliverer. Could we be an Othniel and not give up whenever the light at the end of the tunnel isn't showing very brightly? Could we be an Othniel and allow God to guide us in the midst of all of the darkness that is around us? Could we be an Othniel and become a good and faithful leader? And I'm going to prove to you he's a good and faithful leader. Because God delivers the children of Israel out of this bondage. And look at verse 11. And the land had rest, how long? 40 years. And look what happens. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, you see, a judge in this Old Testament time was literally a leader of the people. And for 40 years, Othniel keeps these people on the right track. For 40 years, God uses Othniel to deliver them first, and then for 40 years, give them rest in the land. You would think, would you not, that after 40 years of glory, 40 years of victory, 40 years of rest and peace, that there would be nothing that would make the children of Israel want to lose that again. Wouldn't you? That's what you'd think. This is how important Othniel was, because Othniel dies, and the next verse, and the children of Israel did evil again. Can you see how important Othniel is? How important would it be for a church like Southeast Baptist Tabernacle to have men in our church who stand for what is right and who allow God to use them to guide this church, to keep Southeast Baptist on the right track for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years? How important would it be for our children to have an Othniel in our presence? And I'm saying what we need, men, is for you and I to become that Othniel, that one who's willing to be used of God, who doesn't give up, who doesn't quit, doesn't get discouraged when light isn't shining at the end of the tunnel like it should. 8 years, it takes a while. And then to be brave enough to step up and say, let's go up against this king who has kept us his slave for the last 8 years, and let's say, no more. We're not going to do this. And have that kind of courage to lead when it's not easy. Can you imagine trying to convince people to follow you after 8 years of being beaten down? And yet the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and the people rally to Othniel, and they have 40 years of peace. What would 40 years of rest do for your family? You know, I have one of those families, not my family, but my family, you know, two generations back. My family has been one of these families. I mean, we've had many, many days of upheaval. And you know, what happened about 20 years ago, my mom and dad got right with God. And all of a sudden, for my family, things started smoothing out. It was like, this is wonderful. And now for my family, we've had, because of you folks, 26 years of just glory. Now, I'm, you know, you get to that place where you're just afraid to breathe, because, you know, 26 years, that's wonderful. Lord, come back now before I mess it up. You know? Wow, how important would it be for your family to know 40 years of a peace that passes understanding from the Lord? Well, God uses Othniels to bring these things to light. Yeah, you know, America may be struggling spiritually, but don't quit. Your family may be having some struggles. Don't quit. God may at any moment raise up and bring in a time of wonderful peace. We call it revival in this day and age. What God might do. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.